The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Yes, I'm Ewan Cameron and Stephen Mill is off. He is on holiday. I think he's somewhere in the United States. I think he might be in Florida.
Is he in Florida? Is he?
Do you know? Wait, producer John, is he actually in Florida?
Yes, I.
Apparently his plane, Disneyland.
It's a good joke,
I've got him a bed for this.
Yeah, that's terrible. Shocking way to start.
This goes upwards after that.
Yeah, anyway, to help my poor banter this week, I'm joined by Brechin City and Scotland half a cap, Mark Wilson.
I always enjoy coming on this show to get introductions like that.
Half a cap.
I love it. This show's... I cannot believe that this show's ran for 102 episodes.
It's huge.
How is that even possible?
It's massively popular.
Really?
Yeah. It's huge. It's hugely popular.
That's astounding.
And we're delighted to have Mark Wilson here. And we also have a wee surprise guest who's joined us on the podcast today. Falkirk captain, played Celtic yesterday in the League Cup quarterfinals. Delighted to welcome Mr. Cole Donaldson here. Round of applause for Cole Donaldson.
Yeah. Thanks very much for having me, Ewan.
Yeah, it's nice to have you.
We struck up a great relationship from our Falkirk Daft live evening with producer John, didn't we?
With producer John. And we become friends overnight.
Yeah.
Best pals.
Instantly.
Instantly. We're messaging
just overnight.
Every day. Just that night we met in behind the wall in Falkirk, me and Cole, we struck it off because we're both Hearts men.
And
then we've been messaging and texting.
And what a treat for you, Cole. Yeah. Every day receiving a message from you and
Cameron. Just vents his anger at Hearts towards me, I think. Just offloads all
his
pain.
To be alive. How on earth did you concentrate in the game yesterday when you must have had him texting you all weekend?
The first text he received when he came off the pitch at Parkhead was for me.
Yeah, that's unreal.
It was. He was giving us compliments, though, so it was
I
nice.
Did. I
it
thought Falkirk nice did well. Well, we'll get to the game. Yep. We'll get to the game, but I'm delighted to have Cole Donaldson here with us today alongside Mark Wilson for episode 102 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. We're going to get to your feedback in just a wee second, but let's find out what we all got up to this weekend. We kind of have an idea what Cole was doing, but Mark Wilson, what were you doing this weekend?
Well, I was in here on Friday night. I had an under-18 game with Partick Thistle. We won that 4-0, so that set me off for a good weekend. Then I was in here with Super Scoreboard on Saturday, taking in some of the games, and then nothing, really nothing this weekend. Watched the boxing
at
the weekend.
Did you watch Joshua versus Dubois?
I did. I watched it mainly for Liam Gallagher.
That was awful.
Well, Liam Gallagher, he lasted longer than Joshua, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Almost, but...
But his performance...
Oh, don't give us that. That's Liam Gallagher, what we want.
Did you hear him, though? Did you actually listen to it?
I did, but... He doesn't care, does he? He's fleeced us all for hundreds of pounds.
People doesn't care. People who've bought those tickets are now regretting it after hearing his performance.
Well, I bought
Wembley.
Those tickets. I don't regret it.
Have you got the tickets?
I've got the tickets.
Did you get the tickets for Oasis?
No, so I actually knocked back the chance to go. I'm not really into music that much, to be honest. Like, it doesn't really interest me.
Hold on a minute, where they are, right. So there's one thing, not being into Oasis, but you're not into music.
No, like, I'm into, like, house music. So, like, I like going to, like, clubs and listening to music like that. But I'm not interested in standing in a stadium full of people
so
listening
you don't
to
go
music.
To gigs?
Nah, so I've only ever been to two gigs. Example, and I went to Tina Park for the day about 10 years ago and had the worst time ever. So.
Example, no wonder you don't like gigs.
HMV Picture House, that's how long ago that was. It was actually a really good night. I think it was about 15 or 16.
I could have been a good night. Example.
Example.
She's still kicking about. Can we get Example on the phone?
That's why he doesn't like music.
No wonder, man. I've never heard anybody say that. I'm not really into music.
No,
but
I love
really
Example. Are you into gaming?
I love my gaming.
Oh, do you? Do you play games?
I still play games. My girlfriend slags me off for it, thinks that I'm too old for it. 29 and but no, I'm...
What games do you play? Do you play FIFA? Because I play FIFA. I got a new one there just the other day there.
I think you might be right at the sort of that age where it's beginning to get a bit weird. I don't know your thoughts.
You're wrong.
Weird.
You're wrong. Not beginning. You are long past the gaming stage.
What age are you? I'm
52. And you're still playing computer games?
Yeah, I was on last night playing Ultimate Team.
I don't even
know
Ultimate
Team's even worse, by the way, because that's not just like playing the game. That involves putting buying the game and then putting extra money in so your team gets better. And you, there's no way you don't put money in. I know what you're like.
I was on Ultimate Team last night. I was playing
last night on a Sunday night.
Aye.
And what's Teresa?
Well, my wife. Aye. She's up the stairs.
You can't be. She's up the stair. So you're playing it in the living room.
Aye.
That's even worse than playing it at your age.
Why? What do you mean?
Because you can't vacate the full family.
Well,
at any age, never mind 52, to play computer games in the living room. And she's upstairs watching a portable telly while you're playing FIFA on a 70-incher.
That's
weird behaviour. I think there'd be many people out there that would agree with me on that.
My face is going red here.
No wonder. You can't be chucking your wife at the living room.
And I was watching the golf at Wentworth. And that because I was watching the golf on Saturday night I was playing the PGA Tour.
That's 14-year-old behaviour. I used to do that.
14-year-old
behaviour. You'd watch a golf or the football and you'd go and try and replicate it on the computer. Aye. You're 52, man. Let it go. Surely there's some DIY shit you should be doing around the house.
And I beat Rory McIlroy.
I bet Teresa was well chuffed when you went up to bed and says, "You'll never guess who I beat." Aye.
So what games do you play, Cole?
I'm Call of Duty.
Oh, you're a Call of Duty
Strictly
boy?
Call of Duty, aye.
There's a few of the boys I know in football who play Call of Duty.
Aye, I think
is Tony Watt, like, he's quite a big Call of Duty boy, isn't he?
Tony Watt, especially during lockdown. Tony Watt actually used to run a tournament.
He did.
During lockdown, which I partook in, but there was a lot of cheating in that going on. It was a bit
dodgy.
It was dodgy, aye.
Because I know that Lauren Shanklin is a really good FIFA player. And I played against Liam Boyce, another heart striker. I played him in a tournament. A couple of games I played against him. Liam Boyce is shit hot at FIFA.
Boyce is good at COD as well.
Call of Duty.
He's good. Like,
this is an awful conversation. I feel like I shouldn't even be here. You two just want to chat about. No, this is like an old episode of Games Master. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
I'd be brilliant on that, honestly.
Games Master. I tell you what, I played with a guy, Tommy Gravison. You heard him? The Call of Duty. So
Thomas Gravison.
Uh-huh. He was number two in the world.
Aye.
So he used
You're
to.
You're joking.
Right, so this guy, he comes from Real Madrid, superstar, and at that time he had a porn star girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He had all the money he could wish for, but seen the summer, he would go back to Denmark and stay with his parents and go in the basement and just play Call of Duty. So, when
know that.
Ah,
he was that good.
He was that good.
Thomas Gravinson. Yeah. So that's Cole. That's what he does. He's a professional footballer, but to relax, he plays Call of Duty and he plays computer games. I'm a guy who likes to relax in front of a computer game. I'm playing FIFA and I'm playing Ultimate Team. I'm also playing Call of Duty. I'm playing the golf game. So when you were a professional footballer, before you hung up your boots, what did you do to relax?
I like to read. Read many novels.
Maybe a novel you read and give us a review on it.
I like the Jackie Collins ones. They were always good.
Fifty Shades of Grey, did you read that?
No, I just watched the film. I was looking for visuals. I didn't need to imagine that stuff. I used to be into computers, right? This is the point. I used to love it. I used to love COD. We used to go home for Celtic every day. We all used to go on it.
Uh-huh.
But there's a line. I knew my line, Ewan.
What do you mean there's a line?
But where's
so
the
when
line?
My kid was born, and when I was supposed to be bathing my kid, you know, I was on Call of Duty, and the missus says, look, you're going to need to wrap one of them. I did consider this old Jacob. But I made the right choice.
Yeah, but I was still playing the games with my kids, were we? I still found time.
Because when Teresa was doing all the work.
No, the kids would be in bed and I was up till 2 a.m. playing
that's
games.
That's bonkers.
How?
And you were on the breakfast show.
Aye. And then I sleep during the day.
What time did you go to your bed?
Sleep during the day.
An owl.
I'm like an owl.
Hold on, what time did you go to your bed at last night? Did you tweet at 12 o'clock last night?
I did.
And you were on the breakfast show this morning?
Aye.
I thought that was bonkers. I saw that.
I tweeted last night.
What time does the breakfast show start?
6. So I tweeted last night at midnight because I'd just come off playing Ultimate Team.
That can't be good for your brain.
So as I was walking up the
stairs. That's what the bosses want to hear. Good prep for the show. But you're listening.
Right, so that's what you did at the weekend. Right,
yeah,
we now know what you did, which was nothing.
I watched Formula One on Sunday. And
nobody watches Formula One.
I like Formula One.
You like
yes!
Formula One?
Aye.
It's just a procession.
Nah, it's not anymore.
It's not.
Recently, it's got a lot better.
Brilliant.
Last year wasn't like what you say, first happen every week, but this year it's got a lot better. I missed it yesterday, obviously, because of the Celtic game, but
I do play Formula One.
I just love sports, mate. NFL as well, huge on that.
I do play Formula One on the PlayStation.
It's good on the PS.
It's really good. It's so realistic.
It is. Have you got the wheel?
I've got the wheel and the pedals.
That's cool. I love that.
I'll send you a picture later. Do you know what you're doing this afternoon? Come round to my house. I'll give you a shot of my Formula One car.
I am busy doing something I've not thought of.
So you're reading
another novel.
So you are watching the Formula One.
Yep.
That was your weekend.
And then I watched this one.
And then you watched Coll playing against Celtic. So apart from the Celtic game, which we will speak about, and all the other games at the weekend, but what else were you doing at the weekend? Do you just, like, Friday, Saturday, are you just keeping relaxed? Are you just chilling? Are you doing anything? Are you going out? What are you doing before a game?
Nah, so it was obviously, it's quite strange actually having a Saturday off. Well, not off, so we obviously train Saturday morning, shaping, just a sort of walkthrough session.
So we see when you say train on a Saturday morning ahead of a game against Celtic, I take it it's not blood and thunder training.
Nah, it's not. So it's like, well, the gaffer at Falkirk, we're a warm-up, possession boxes, then we'll do a bit of shape, and if it's an evening game, then we might play like a couple of rounds of small-sided games, but... Right. Like a 3 o'clock kickoff, it's literally just through the set plays, and then that's you away up the road.
And that was it? Anything else at the weekend? Watch anything? Do anything else?
Watched the West Ham Chelsea game when I got in from training, and then I watched a wee bit of the Hearts game on Saturday.
Quite depressing, wasn't it?
It wasn't a great watch. And then I watched the boxing. Mark watched the boxing on Saturday.
I did see the boxing as well, in between playing Ultimate Team.
Did you go and play the boxing after it?
They've not put a boxing game for years. The last one was Fight Night, and that was years ago.
There's more UFC games on it.
There's a UFC game that I've got that's not that great, but I really want a boxing game.
This is now Games Master. Yeah. Everything's just coming back to your computer games.
Okay, apart from me playing Ultimate Team and playing the PGA Tour over the weekend.
What did you do?
So I was working on Saturday on the big Saturday football show. So I did that on Saturday. Came home, and before I played the PGA Tour, we had a family movie night.
Nice.
And I watched the movie Quiet Place Day One. Do you know the movie Quiet Place?
No.
Now, the original two movies starring Emily Blunt.
You know Emily Blunt is,
and she's married to the boy John Krasinski.
Right.
He's a producer, an actor, and a director. And they made this movie called Quiet Place. It was such a huge success. They made a sequel to it.
Okay.
So those two movies are standalone movies. And what they did was, because it's obviously a moneymaker, they created a movie called Quiet Place Day One. And it tells the story of how part two and part three came about and why part two and part three happened. Does that make sense?
Well, if you let me think about it for a minute, it might make sense. That sounds... What happened to just the sequel?
Right, so part day one is when the monsters and the aliens arrive on Earth.
I'm out right away. There you go. Just pause it there. Mm-hmm. As soon as you started saying when the monsters and aliens arrived on Earth, finish that.
And that was the whole family watched that?
Yeah.
Who chose the film?
Me.
Yeah, I thought so.
They must love you. When you're not gaming, you're getting them to watch that shit. There's monsters and aliens in it.
I can't recommend the movie highly enough.
Hold on, your kids aren't young as well. Your kids are quite old, eh?
Aye. 15-year-old.
So it was good. Good film.
Great film. I cannot recommend it highly.
Really?
I highly recommend it. It's hugely popular.
And where do you get it? Is it on that Fire Stick that you've got? Oh, no, it's...
Sky. I'm genuine.
You pay your full subscription? I'm same as me. I work with a few others that don't, though. Usually on a Saturday.
How did you watch the boxing on Saturday night?
Sky Box Office.
Yep.
Aye. So genuine as well?
Yeah, genuine.
How much did you pay for it?
I think it was 22 quid or something.
You think it's a place you would know, wouldn't it?
Exactly. You wouldn't be typing your details.
Exactly.
So I recommend Quiet Place Day One. If you like the first two movies with Emily Blunt, you're going to love this movie. Highly recommend it. It's out in Sky right now, and that is what I did at the weekend. So should we find out what the punters have been saying about the show in the past week or so?
Go for that. Always good for a review.
So thanks for all your feedback on last week's show. On whether the Hearts and Aberdeen job are bigger than the Scotland job. So before I read out the feedback, I'm going to ask you both, is the Hearts and Aberdeen job a bigger job than Scotland? Mark Wilson.
Oh, I'm going to sit on the fence because everyone would expect say no. But I get where your argument's coming from.
Thank you.
I totally understand that.
Is Hearts in Aberdeen a bigger job than Scotland? Is that a better job and a bigger
job? Is it a better job? Depends where you sit in terms of your career.
You're
if I got offered both, which would be a sorry state for the country, I would take one of the club jobs.
Oh, interesting. So Hearts want you, Scotland want you. You take
Hearts. I would go Hearts.
Col Donaldson, you're a player right now, and I'm sure it's still a dream of yours to pull on that dark blue jersey and play for Scotland. But when you're not playing, what do you think the bigger job is? Is it the Scotland job or is it Hearts and Aberdeen?
I think what Mark says is quite interesting. I think it really depends on the manager. Like, Steve Clark's not going to leave the Scotland job to go and be the Hearts manager.
Yeah, because of course he will.
He won't, because he's had the experience. He's been a club manager.
Hold on a second. You're telling me that Steve Clark would not walk out in Scotland for Hearts if they come knocking on his door?
No, I don't think so.
So you think the Scotland job's bigger?
No, I think it depends on the manager. So if you had a young manager that was more looking to get their foot in and work day in, day out in a club role, then that's what they would want to do, which probably Mark would want to do. But Steve Clark's not going to... You work... Obviously, you're working year-round, but realistically, you work sort of...
So if Steve Clark had an option after leaving Kilmarnock, was either to go to Hearts or go to Scotland, what do you think he would have done?
Scotland.
Do you think he'd have chose Scotland? He wouldn't even consider the Hearts job.
Steve Clark, to me, seems like he really, really enjoys that Scotland side of the map. Like, he's dead proud, dead
right.
patriotic.
Here's one. What about Derek McInnes saying, right? Mm. The Scotland job came up right now.
No, I would he choose
Scotland? And Hearts want him.
And Hearts want him. Would he go Scotland or Hearts?
Hearts, I think. So there's the difference. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it really depends on the manager.
So McInnes would choose Hearts over Scotland?
Yeah.
Right now?
I agree with that.
You think so?
I agree with that.
And we'll get to that in just a wee second when it comes to Hearts and Naismith no longer at the club. But let's get to some of your feedback on the Hearts and Aberdeen job being bigger than the Scotland job, as I suggested last week. Shite Sports Opinion says, Ewan's being a silly goose and not for the first or last time. Mark says, Ewan is a Piers Morgan of Scottish football, talks pure shite to stir up a storm.
That's one of your better reviews, isn't it? That's quite good.
But you've known me a long time, Mark. I don't make things up. That's how I feel. Oh, it's my opinion.
I've always put it out there, and that's what I believe.
It's what I believe, and I've always suggested that Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic and Rangers are bigger jobs than the Scotland job.
What about the Hibs job? Is that no?
Nah, because Hearts are a bigger club than Hibs.
So you think Aberdeen are a bigger club than Hibs as well?
Yes. Right. Yeah. I think it's...
Hearts are a bigger club than Hibs?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Do you not think
on
so?
On what basis?
Come on. Call will tell you as well. He's a Hearts man.
It's not even as close as you think.
No.
In terms of supporter base and fan base.
But you should know that, Mark. I mean, you played in the Scottish Premier League for a long time.
Hibs is a pretty big club.
No, it's a massive club. We're not saying they're not, but in regards to the
size...
Not even just the success, but even just the fan base, the success, everything about Hearts is bigger than Hibs. And so's Aberdeen in every way... as well, bigger than Hibs. Hibs are fifth on that list of biggest clubs in Scotland.
But Hibs have got their own training ground, haven't they?
Yeah.
Hearts?
We're up at Riccarton.
Oh, at the Orium, like you rent off somebody.
It's at the university ground we're at, isn't it?
Aye.
Aye.
At the Orium.
No, but it doesn't matter where we train. We're talking about the
stadium.
Club.
Stadium bigger? Tynecastle bigger than Easter Road?
Easter Road's bigger.
Easter Road is bigger.
So that's two things.
Mark, I think you're just being pedantic here.
You just say they're bigger in every respect. I've just mentioned Hibs have got their own training ground.
Don't be sticking up for him.
Their stadium's bigger.
Mark, I'm going to ask you a straightforward question.
Right.
Do you think the Hibernian Football Club are a bigger club than Hearts?
I think they're on a par.
Oh, Jesus.
Get off that fence, would you?
You told me I was making some good points.
No, you are making good points, but the best way I would describe it, right, is if Hearts offered you a grand a week and Hibs offered you a grand a week, who are you signing for?
Hibs.
Nonsense. I like that part of the city.
No, you don't.
My brother stays at Leith. It's no nice, trust me.
Nice restaurants have been on, Leith.
Okay. Yeah, on the water. Robin says, when Steve Clark leaves Scotland, he will get a gig in England at a championship team or lower premiership job in the English Premiership. He won't take a job in Scotland, not a chance. Mark says, this is the worst take Ewan has ever had. No, it's not, Mark. It really isn't. The eating in the bath and the whole shoe and socks thing is a win compared. Fuck me, says Mark.
Is this the same Mark that commented before? He just,
it's a different Mark.
Is it?
It's a different Mark. So do you, have you ever eaten in the bath, Cole?
No. You eat in the bath?
Aye, that's no, weird. That's what, wild. Eating in the bath?
Yeah. That's wild.
Aye, that's wild.
I've eaten in the bath.
What, like hot things?
Just eat food and packets of crisps and stuff.
Mate, how can you be in a hot bath eating a hot scran? Like, how, that's bizarre.
I've eaten pizza in the bath.
Aye, that's... Aye. Minging.
But I'm watching the football and just sat in the bath for an hour and a half while the football's on my iPad.
I've got a horrible image in my head. Can we change the subject? I'm seeing you in the bath right now.
Can of Coca-Cola and a slice of pizza.
Bubbles in that up and over.
Where are you putting all this? Have you got one of the little wedges that go across the bath that you sit
a bit
on?
No, I've got a silver thing that's about this high above the bath and I just put my food and my drink there. And then my iPad's there at the other end of the bath.
Mate, you live like an 18-year-old bachelor. You are 52 with a full family.
Have you never eaten in the bath?
Never. Oh, okay. I don't take baths, but even if I did...
No, I didn't get a bath either, no.
Have you got a bath in the house?
Aye.
But you never use it?
No, shower.
So do you have to step into the bath to get in the shower?
Aye.
But you never sit in the bath?
No. Mrs. does, but no, I'm...
Well, you're showering. She's taking the bath.
What time does this show go at?
Right, okay. So yeah, I like to eat in the bath. I've been known to eat in the bath. That's... And see when you put your socks and shoes on?
Mm-hmm. So in the bath?
No, not in the bath. So is it sock, shoe, or is it sock, shoe, shoe?
Sock, shoe, shoe.
Sock, shoe,
you,
shoe.
Then you put a sock on and then the shoe and then leave that other foot barefoot, do you?
Uh-huh. No, but see, this was a debate we had a few weeks ago.
I don't know if that's a debate. Right.
But I'm going to explain why I'm like that and why I do that.
Right.
Now, if I had a can of juice, I would be able to explain it better. So when I get a can of juice, I've got a habit of doing this on the top of the can before I open it. I blow around the edge of the can. And the reason I do that, and it stuck with me for 16 years when I lived in the Middle East, it was to blow the sand off. So every single day when I had a can of juice,
right.
So it was just part of my routine. So even now to this day, I still go round the can. Everyone goes, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you blowing on your can? I want to get the sand off it.
Mate, that is but unless just, you're at the beach at St Andrews, there's no sand.
No, but it's just natural. It's an automatic thing that I do.
How long did you live in the Middle East?
I was there for 16 years, from 1989 to into the noughties.
Were you?
Aye.
So the majority of your life, you've not been surrounded by sand, if you think about it.
So a lot of my life has been in the sand and the water and all that stuff. So here's the reason why. Here's another habit.
A mermaid.
The sock shoe thing is because I lived in the sand and I lived near water. So you'd always have to dry one foot first. Put a sock on, put a shoe, and then try another. But that's why I do sock shoe.
Oh,
it's just a natural thing. I don't think about it. It just comes naturally. Sock shoe.
Ah, that's bonkers.
It's to keep the sand away from
Why
your
did
feet.
You not wear sandals then in that time? Or flip-flops?
What are you wearing socks and shoes for? I've got football you're talking
even
about.
Even that's bonkers, wearing socks and shoes if you're in the sand.
We're going to get to the
He knows we've got a point there, so he's moving on.
On being able to batter Jim Duffy, I suggested last week that I could batter Jim Duffy.
I heard that.
Right? I could batter Jim Duffy. I think
not
I could.
A chance. No, Jim's chance. A unit.
Call, you know Edinburgh.
Yeah. Wester Hills is
I'm in Wester Hills.
Wester Hills is rough as toast, but Big Jim's got, he's got the reach.
He's got the reach.
The reach,
So on being able to batter Jim Duffy, Chris says, did you know have to get his wife to meet him off the train one night because a group of wee neds were abusing him with Maltesers?
But really?
That's true, right?
What
so happened
there?
To you? She didn't, no, listen, he's kind of like, he's exaggerating a wee bit. So okay. I was in a train late at night and there was a bunch of neds. There must have been about 10 of them. And one of them recognised me and they were throwing Maltesers at me, right? And shouting things at me about hearts and all that kind of stuff. Like they're chucking them up to the eye.
That's terrible.
Right?
Is that it?
No. And then, but Teresa was already picking me up from the train station, but people have
was
now...
She?
Yeah, she was because I was getting the train home and she was picking me up from Pullman train station. So she was always me picking me up from the train, but it's been made out to say that I was really scared that my wife met me on the platform to pick me up because these boys were throwing Maltesers at my head.
Was she standing outside the car though? Because if she was,
she was.
She's there to defend you.
With the motor running, with the engine running.
Mark says, Big Jim would batter Ewan without breaking a sweat. Mark, I think a wee slap from Jim on Marvin and Ewan would be seeing stars. Yeah. So loads of Mark's listening to the show. Uh-huh. Mr. C, remember that wee antiques guy who went on Wogan? He could batter Ewan. On Ewan's reviews, oh God, there's loads today. Alan says, by the fact Ewan tells us that there's a twist means that everyone who watches it won't be affected by it because Ewan has told us there's a twist coming. So I did do a
what
review
did you
last
week.
You've got to watch it on Netflix. It's Into the Fire, about the daughter who was kidnapped and she went missing. It's called Into the Fire. Watch it.
There's a huge twist at the end.
Massive twist.
She's not missing or something.
No, the massive twist is in episode one and you find out what it means in episode two.
Right.
So it's two episodes, get it, watch, called Into the Fire on Netflix. Okay. But I did say there was a twist. John says, superb as always, lads. Usually can't be arsed with Ewan's reviews, but I have to agree. That documentary was excellent. Right? Scran Brothers says, fair play for this week's telly movie review. I watched The Missing Daughter thing on Netflix. I can confirm it's a superb watch. Cheers, Ewan, you dick. And there you go. So yeah, watch that. It is very, very, very good.
Into the Fire. No, but I'm watching just now, rewatching 24 Hours in Police Custody. You watch that?
Yeah, I was watching that during the week.
Unreal, eh?
Did you watch the one in Liverpool? Did you watch that one?
Aye, I saw that one.
Aye, I know.
Unbelievable.
I was watching the one about the guy that was went on a rampage in a hotel in Luton and killed somebody and claimed it was like self-defence, but brilliant. They're really good.
I've not seen that one yet.
No, Luton? Was that police 24 Hours in Police Custody?
Aye.
I need to look that one out.
It makes you want to be a detective.
Huh? It does, doesn't it?
Aye.
It's when they're saying no comment, no comment, no comment, and then they go, oh, but if you grass on him and you can see the boy in the chair going,
they play them against each other.
That's all right.
You can see him lifting his face going, no comment, no comment, and then they say, well, if you tell us about him, we'll do a deal with you, and then the eyes lift up and you go, oh, okay then. Can I
need to speak to the solicitor.
Need a break. And he still gets jailed at the end of it. Anyway. Hook, line and sinker every time.
One of our oldest listeners, Joel, my father watches a show and loves it. And he's 83 and he's 84 this year. Got an 84-year-old listener and watching his show on YouTube. Thanks for that, Joel. Russell says, loving watching, eating a full packet of ham in my Crocs and socks. Do you ever just eat ham out of packet without any without putting on a sandwich?
I did that. I did that this morning.
Aye. You did
for
this
breakfast,
morning.
Aye.
Ham for breakfast, right?
Aye. What, just took the packet?
I just a quick snack. Had a wee bit of toast on the side, but then a wee bit of ham.
I'm alright with that, that's fine.
Peeling cellophane away and just eating the ham out the packet.
That's annoying though. See, peeling the cellophane away.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever done that in a winner?
No,
that
you
actually get
it.
You can't do it.
You can't.
It's impossible. Even though it says peel here in the corner.
See, when you peel it and you rip the bit off and then it's like sealed the full way around and you're like, ah, then you get a knife and just batter this.
Michael says, would a Roger Hanna-style quiz handicap of -1 for Stephen maybe give Ewan a slight chance? That's not a bad show because I lose the quiz every single week. But today I'm going to win because I'm up against two absolute numpties sat next to me. Stories from the week. Let's do this. Stephen Naismith sacked at heart. I mean, it was coming. There was no doubt about it in my mind that he was not going to see out the season after the start that we had. And then he goes to St Mirren. We lose by 2-1. The board met on Saturday night. They made a decision to sack him, announced it yesterday. Stephen Naismith no longer at Hearts. Now, a lot of people are expecting me to do some sort of happy dance because I'm going to be over the moon and delighted because I've been screaming for his head for such a long time. I never really supported him even last year. I just didn't think he was the man for us to take us forward. I think that Lauren Shankland saved him last year. Lauren Shankland's goals got us to third. Aberdeen being absolute pish also helped. Hibs being pish also helped. So I think that we got third in spite of Stephen Naismith last season. And I think the true football manager that he has shone through this campaign. He's too young, wasn't ready, inexperienced. He's no longer at Tynecastle. The right decision has been made by the football club. But where do they go from here, Mark Wilson?
Oh, well, the world is their oyster, and it depends where this investment, if Tony Bloom is coming in, because I think if he is serious about investing his money and coming into Hearts, then he should have a say. But to go back to Naismith, I wouldn't take away the merits of last season. I think that's been unfair on them, because you still need to win your games, even though the rest of them. But even though if you're saying the rest of the teams are shite, Stephen Naismith still had a job to do. What does affect him, though, is his form since May. I think that was the last victory against Dundee, 3-0 on the 11th of May or something like that.
One win in 17.
So you go the end of the season, which is fine because you've got third place, but when you start pre-season, you don't win any of your pre-season games and get bartered in a lot of them. You need to pick up a win somewhere. So of course that form's always going to haunt you, but it's when you amass such a big squad, such a good squad, the pressure then comes on your shoulders. It's great. And you as Hearts fans must think, ah, brilliant, the recruitment is great. We spoke about it in Super Scoreboard. The recruitment's been brilliant. He's got his work done early, but you need to pick up results. And that's what's went against him. And am I surprised? No. Football's a harsh game. Don't like seeing him lose his job, or anybody for that matter.
No.
But that's just the nature.
That's we're the nature of the game.
Aye, that's what we're in. We know the price in the ticket when we sign up.
He gets paid big bucks to do that job.
Yeah.
He's a wealthy boy. He's going to get his contract paid off. He was already a wealthy boy before he came into Hearts because of the football he played in the Premier League, etc. So, but that, as you say, that's the game that we're all involved in, that we love dearly, that you are judged by your results.
Yeah.
And the form this year has been awful. I'm going to ask you, Col, as a Hearts man, were you surprised and were you happy to see him go? Do you think it was time for him to go?
No, I think what Mark says, you're never happy to see someone lose their job in football. Working in football, it's such a volatile environment and it's horrible to see anyone losing their job. Obviously, you say he's financially secure and whatever, but...
But it is part of the game, isn't it?
It is, but I think a lot's to be said about the momentum. I think the same could actually be said about when Nielsen lost his job at Hearts. It's like finishing third at Hearts is like a poison chalice. Like, why can a Hearts team that is the third best team in the league, which they were last year, beat Celtic twice, so not as bad as what you're making out. But you get that European group stage football, which is worth...
6 million.
How can you get an extra 6 million than the rest of the teams? I'm not talking about the Old Firm because they're galaxies away, but you get an extra 6 mil to your Motherwells, Hibs, Aberdeens, you should kick on and then just secure that third place.
And get closer to the big two.
Yeah, year in, year out. But when Hearts got it the last time, they struggled. It cost Nielsen his job. This year, they've struggled and it's cost Naismith his job. Like,
But Cole, I thought the recruitment was really good. We've picked some of the best players from the Premiership, Danda and Spittle. I thought Spittle was outstanding for Motherwell last year, playing in that number 10 role behind Theo Bear, scored 13 goals, umpteen assists. He's been all over the place at Hearts. He's been left side, right side. He's been CDM, centre midfield, CAM. That's me talking FIFA language now.
I know.
He doesn't know his best team though, does he?
That's the problem. That's where he's fell down. That's why I think if he'd just gone with the same 11 that played against Rangers, against Dundee the following week, instead of making the two changes and also changing the back four to a back five, I mean, he overthinks it.
I know. Well, we actually played Hearts. So we played Hearts, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks into the season in the League Cup. And Hearts were actually really, really good first half. Probably should have been 2 or 3 up.
That first 15, 20 minutes when we hit the post and your keepers made a couple of decent saves.
Hearts were decent.
We were decent. And
sharp. Moved the ball really well. Yeah. Good players, like you mentioned, Spitz. Boyce played that day. Aye. Vargas. Like, good players. But as soon as we scored that initial goal, you could sort of feel that.
Did you feel it?
You could. On the park, you'll know yourself. Like, when you score that goal and then... There was only really going to be one team after that goal went in that won it. We ended up getting a second and it was comfortable in
the
end.
So even when you take the lead, you knew you were winning that game because of the body language of the Hearts players.
Not only the body language, but the way that the game started to go, which is an indictment in itself. Like, we're a championship side and we're playing the third biggest budget. Might not be the third best team, but it's definitely the third biggest budget. So that should be like, you should score and then you need to just sit in your own penalty box for the last half hour. But it wasn't a case of that. We were taking the game still to heart. So as producer John's probably told you.
So see, when you go in at half time and you're 1-0 up, what's John McGlynn saying to you?
So it was 0-0 at half time. We scored on 50 minutes.
You're right. Sorry. Yes, you're right. Because it was just after half time, you scored the opening goal. That's right. Yeah.
But 0-0 at half time, he was like, we've kind of got away with that there. And you're expecting him to just keep on coming. But like you say, when we scored, it got comfortable. But beforehand, like Hearts, you saw, had 3 or 4 right good opportunities.
Aye, they did. Goals they should have scored as well. Yeah. It could have been a different game, but... Yeah.
But in that game alone, did they not make 8 changes? I know what you're saying about the players coming in. They're all of a good quality. But I think he got caught up in the whole European adventure and thought, I've got this big squad, I need to rotate early on in the season. And I think any player will tell you, what you want is continuity, you want, you know, knowing your teammates for that opening part of the season. if you're making changes every other game, that just doesn't come. Even if it is good players, look at Celtic yesterday. Mm-hmm. They make, how many changes was it, 6 or 7 changes? And you could quite clearly see that they weren't as connected as what they had been. Same for Hearts. So if you've got a big squad, I think it's great because you can rely on those players to come in when the going gets tough.
If there's a
winter
suspension
months.
Or there's an injury or something. Yeah,
injuries, yeah.
But doing it for the sake of doing it, just to rotate and give people minutes, it's a dangerous game sometimes, and it's led to the form that Hearts have had over recent weeks.
So, Col, I'm going to ask you as a Hearts man, who would you like to see get the job now that Naismith's no longer there?
I've always said McInnes. I would love to see McInnes at Hearts. I think you give him that budget.
He's got knowledge, a stature about him as well, isn't he?
He does, aye. He's the one sort of manager that when he was that Aberdeen manager, his team was that close to Celtic. Like I would love to see him at Tynecastle. I've always said, and I've worked with people within the game that have worked with him, and anyone that's worked with him will give him sort of a glowing reference. So,
McInnes for you.
Yeah, McInnes would be...
Hard to argue. I was a player that worked with him, so yeah. Derek was my captain at Dundee United, and then he took me to Bristol City, and even though I was hopeless at Bristol City, and he ended up getting the sack shortly after I went there, he was a brilliant manager to work under. You know, the boys loved him. He had that respect. He had that aura around him. And I don't think it's been disrespectful to Kelly. There's certain jobs that come up, and it's all about the food chain, the higher up you go. And when Dale's been at Aberdeen and he wanted a change, he's had to go about it, you know, round the houses a bit. But Hearts is right up there. No,
and I think it needs that figurehead now. I think Hearts need that figurehead who's been there, done it, got the T-shirt, experience.
Knows the league.
And he'll get instant respect as soon as he walks through that door at Hearts.
And you can tell, I think what points out good managers, you can always tell the identity of the team when you're seen.
Yeah.
So Kilmarnock looked like what Aberdeen did in terms of profile for positions.
Yeah.
You look at the wingers, you look at the two physical guys up front, you look at the solid defensive shape. That Aberdeen team and the Kelly team resemble each other, and it'd be the same for Hearts if he had to come in. It might take him a couple of months to get there, but you would be able to see Derek McInnes' fingerprints all over that Hearts team if he got the job.
Yeah, and I think that's what Hearts need right now. They don't need any more experiments. They need somebody in there who's been there and can be trusted.
Nah,
I'm sick of the experiments.
Nice. Who you wanting, Ewan?
I want McInnes. Always said that. And I would also, and you might laugh at me here, I think Robinson should be on that waiting list, or certain waiting list, on that short list. But Billy Davis is doing nothing. He just lives around the corner from the studio.
Mm-hmm. Hugely experienced.
Even just give it to him to the end of the season.
Yeah.
If you're waiting for Tony Bloom to come in and you need to do that deal with Brighton, and then you link into his connections at some point, you could get just someone who has got that experience. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay McInnes any compensation or Kilmarnock any compensation. There's Billy Davis, and I know some people might laugh at that, but look at what he did at Derby and Nottingham Forest. What he did at Preston. The boy's good.
Yep.
Experience. Bring him in till the end of the season.
Well, he's had big jobs, hasn't he?
He's had big jobs,
and he's a big personality. And that's what Hearts need.
Sorry?
Do you think Hearts could go down?
No. We'll get in the top six.
This is a huge appointment, though.
That's what I'm saying, but it needs a figurehead. It needs someone experienced to come in right now. Right, that's why Billy Davis fits that role, McInnes fits that role, but Hearts are going to have to pay Kilmarnock compensation to get him.
And
I don't think Hearts can take a similar risk to Aberdeen. Now, they might look at Aberdeen and be influenced by that, but again, it's still bringing somebody in from another league, from another country. Will it work? Will it no work? It's a risk. I don't think Hearts can take that risk anymore.
I don't know. Just with Jimmy Thielen, how it's looked.
That's what I'm saying. Will they be influenced by it? And it could
perhaps
go wrong. Look at Stendhal. We thought Stendhal was the next big thing, and look what happened there.
Yeah.
I think that all that kind of experiment.
Do you think Bloom will get a say in it?
What, in the managerial appointment? But he's not in yet.
Exactly.
The deal's not done. Do you think you could be pulling the strings behind the scenes?
But if I'm investing 10 million quid and I see that there's a vacancy there for the managerial job, and I've got a proven track record of getting good young managers in from, you know, out of nowhere.
Portugal, Germany or whatever.
I'd be phoning up and saying, listen, I'm going to do this deal, but maybe here's some advice. Here's a list of managers that would be on my thinking.
Okay. So let's get to the football and what happened at the weekend. Let's start with the Premiership. We kind of touched on Hearts there with the sacking of Stephen Naismith. St Mirren 2, Hearts 1. And St Mirren deserved the win, Mark.
I would say so.
They deserved the win.
I would say so. And that's it. See, the goals that Hearts concede, you know, it just looked like the, St Mirren had that desire to get in the end of things and put their body where it hurts. That's what's been missing at Hearts. St Mirren had a good start to the season.
Yeah.
And that's why Stephen Robertson's name's been linked to it, because he's done it consistently though over several years.
He's not a one-trick pony, is he? And Olasanya, he scored 6 goals this season already. The boy's flying.
Flying, eh?
So St Mirren won by 2-1. Do you think there'll be top six, call?
I do, aye. I spoke to Stephen McGinn about them at the start of the season and he was massive on them. I spoke to him after the European game and he wasn't surprised at how well they'd done in Europe. He thinks so highly of the manager and... no Big Rooney as well, but he's just mental. So.
Evidently so.
Like kicking players.
Apart from VAR, everybody thinks that apart from VAR. He's allowed to volley who he wants.
Ross County 3, St Johnstone 3. Ross County were ahead in that game. And then St Johnstone go 3-1 up into injury time. And Ross County fight back and get a 3-3 draw. I mean, Ross County have got a really good home record. That's what kept them in the league last year. They're going to need to do that again this season. That's a big point for Ross County. That'll feel like a win. I mean, you boys have been there before when you've lost late goals.
Yeah.
That, even though it's a draw, it'll feel like a win for Ross County, Cole.
Yeah, definitely. But to be honest, I think if you're Don Cowie looking at that game before the game, that's a game that you're looking to win. Home game against a team that's around, probably going to be around you in the league. You'd be hoping to win. But obviously, when it goes 3-1, you would take the 3 each. I think the 2 goals from Nicky Clark, 2 free kicks.
Brilliant.
I never knew. A good player, played against him pretty much all my days. A really good striker, but I never knew he had a free kick like that in him.
Very good, very good. But St Johnstone, I made the point on Saturday, mentality. They've shipped, 4 goals in the last 15 minutes of games this season. That tells you a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we were thinking 3-1, game's done and dusted. As soon as that second Ross County goal went in, I think there's an equaliser here to be had. Definitely.
Because of their track record in previous games.
Literally the last kick of the game, though, wasn't it?
Aye. Good game, though. 3-3 at Dingwall. Ross County 3, St Johnstone 3. Right, League Cup quarterfinals. We'll get to your game call at the end, but let's go through it in order, actually. Let's go Friday night. Motherwell 2, Dundee United 1. I actually had Motherwell on my coupon on Friday night, and they got a last-minute winner against Dundee United. I thought Motherwell deserved the win, Mark. It was a good game.
I've only seen the highlights, Ewan, but it looked a good game. By the way, what I loved about it, right? Motherwell campaigned, didn't they, to get, you know, more fans into the ground Friday. It looked brilliant.
Yeah.
See, when we were talking about Scottish football, we want it to look better. St Johnstone restricting tickets in an already empty stadium.
I know.
Looked shocking. But when you see that on Friday night,
it
just looked so good. And then the goals, some of the goals were brilliant. And fair play to Lennon Miller stepping up, 90 plus minutes. A lot of pressure.
That boy.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He's got a big future ahead of him.
He's a good player.
We played him in pre-season and he never played the first half, played the second half, and he was, honestly, looked like he was doing the park with his mates. Easy for him. Like, he's got more time than everyone. That's the sign of a good player, isn't it?
Were you impressed?
Yeah, very impressed.
Did you get anywhere near him?
No, I wasn't playing. I was injured. So it was the rest of them. It was the rest of their fault. But I actually spoke because I worked with Stuart Kettlewell at Ross County. So I spoke to Kits. And he absolutely loves him. And I think he's got a really good head on his shoulders as well. Yeah. Anyone that you hear from, I think Andy Halliday came out in the press and spoke about how he's down earth, dead humble and stuff. He's signed a new deal at Motherwell. He's only interested in playing games. He's not really thinking about his move yet, which is
good on the lad.
But his dad, you know, giving him that advice. Yeah, that's sometimes what's missing, I think, in the football world with young players. That the parents get caught up too much in the success that their kids having just now. So they're looking for the next thing as soon. But with Lee having experienced everything and just having that mindset, get 100 plus games probably under your belt and the move will come. So I think that's really valuable. But Len is a great kid. I knew him when he was a baby. So funny, my son, first day at uni today, and there's Lennon the same. He's ripping it up in there.
So did you at some point hold Lennon?
He was in the house with Lee and I his wife then, and Lennon's mum, Dundee United. So we were friends, and when the two of them were born, the two of them.
Did you feed Lennon a bottle?
breastfed. That day I was a bit chunky. So I'm taking all the credit, actually. I'll get a cut of that move, surely.
I've not seen Lee for a while. How's he doing?
I've not seen him for a while myself, but he's a busy man, isn't he? His kid's ripping it up in the league. He's got his his hair salon now.
That's right. Aye.
Aye, he's doing brilliant with that.
Is Lee the agent for his son, or is he with an agency? I'm sure. Guessing Lee will be looking after him, will he not?
No, I don't think he's not a football agent, though, is he?
No, but would he not be looking after his son's affairs?
I wouldn't say so. I don't know.
Maybe the same agent he had in his career.
Possibly,
possibly. Because there's loads of intricacies and with deals and things.
And where can I get my hair cut at Lee Miller's place? Where is it?
I'm not sure.
But I'm sure he puts hair back on for the baldy people. Eh? He does. He specialises
Does he?
In the wigs.
You're going to need that call at some point.
Too much stress, mate. That's what it is.
Trying to sell Gordon Dale. Have you seen his ball patch? He's going this week to get it.
I've seen it.
It's amazing.
Aberdeen 4, Spartans 0. It was a training game for Aberdeen. They were always going to win that one, but by how many? They won it by 4. By the way, Papa Gay.
Quick is he?
He's quick. That boy is lightning, and he's scoring goals as well.
He's got an end product as well, which is sometimes lacking from players with that amount of pace, but no, brilliant. He's absolutely flying. Aberdeen are flying, I think. What an appointment.
Nisbet scored as well. I think that's a great sign. I think Nisbet's a really good signing for Aberdeen. Clarkson is back from his injury. He scored. Sockler scored. So, yeah, the four big ones all got goals.
Did you see the boys cross for the goal?
No. Oh, God. Aye.
Was that a centre-half?
Aye, centre-half, aye.
Aye. Ridiculous, was it?
Aye. Mate, he was about 40 yards out, and it's one of those ones that's right between the defence and the goalie.
Ah, nice. I like that.
It's unreal. So Aberdeen, comfortable 4-0 winners. I'm going to ask you this, Colin, and I'm going to ask you, Mark, as well. I said at the start of the campaign that I believed that the Old Firm could be split this year because I thought Rangers were in a mess. And I did think after the recruitment from Hearts that we would be the team that would push on because we'd only lost 3 more games than Rangers last season. Yeah. So I thought if we can turn that around and maybe get better results against Rangers because our performances against Rangers last year were so poor, I thought we might have a chance here to split the Old Firm and really challenge Rangers for that second spot. Well, that's not going to happen now. So I'm going to ask you, Aberdeen, will they be the team? Now, remember, they don't have any European distractions. They can just work week to week in the league. And you look at the players they've got with Nisbet and Clarkson and Sockler and Papa Gay in that top end, scoring goals, and Clarkson with his creativity in midfield. And the boy Nielsen is strolling it just now in the centre of midfield as well. Can they split the Old Firm? Can they keep this going?
Got to say it's possible. I only say that because I don't say that as a knee-jerk reaction, because I didn't think it was possible for Hearts or Aberdeen to do it at the start of the season. But when you see how many wins, 11 straight wins.
Yeah.
Now, me being at Celtic, I know how hard that is to do, even at Celtic, because there was always maybe a wee off performance that you ended up drawing a game or something like that. So to put 11 in a row shows that everybody understands what they're doing. Everybody understands their job. You can see that with the way the team plays, but the confidence, of course, it brings. When you're in one of the dressing rooms, you just feel unbeatable sometimes, don't you? Well, you'll know. Actually, Colin, for last season.
Colin, no, and into this season, in the league, you're still unbeaten. Was it 44 games unbeaten now?
43
games.
That's unreal. Yeah.
That's unreal. So you'll know what that feels like, because Aberdeen have got that right now.
Yeah, it's without Majowski as well, you forget that.
That's right.
Imagine they still had Majowski. You would say that they might actually be favourites to split the Old Firm. But no, like you say, that momentum is huge in football when you start winning games. I think you saw his reaction when they beat Queen of the South. It was on the telly in the group stages of the Premier Cup. And his celebrations when they beat Queen of the South were like massive. He was trying to instill that sort of
winning belief.
So,
do you think they can do it?
I would say no. I think Rangers back at Ibrox now. The games against each other are going to be big. Aberdeen haven't played either of the Old Firm. They've not played Hearts.
No.
Which used to be.
Well, they play Hearts.
Is that
it's
at Pataudry.
It's at Pataudry, and it's 3 days after we've played in Azerbaijan. I just don't give us a chance in that game.
I'm the same. It'll be an Aberdeen win, mate.
Yeah, I think it'll be an Aberdeen win. But it'll be interesting. Aberdeen having a fantastic season. Rangers are back at Ibrox, as Cole alluded to there, and Rangers won by 3-0. Could have been more. I thought Rangers were pretty decent, actually.
Yeah,
it looks as though they're getting better and better, and the new players are bedding in. I don't think they'll challenge Celtic for the league unless you're going to tell me something different, but I thought they did well yesterday.
They did. They looked like structurally a lot better.
Yes.
You know, they kept their wide guys wide with Cherney one side, and you've got the new boy Barami the other side.
I like Barami.
I think Jeffty looks good going forward as well. It's an attack.
Does Ridvan replace Jeffty when he comes back, or does Jeffty stay there?
I think Yilmaz is a good player, but I think you've got to keep Jeffty in there. Defensively, maybe he's suspect, but I think he stays here. But Dessers, got to give credit to Dessers. Yeah. This guy has been battered from power to post. He's finished for, well, he's two goals.
Aye.
Incredible. Yeah. He's a guy that keeps on giving for Rangers when others have let them down.
But before the first goal, he needs to score that chance just before he gets his first goal.
Oh, Ewan, but that's the argument that gets thrown at all the time.
If he scored all his chances, he wouldn't be at Rangers.
Like he'd be on 300 goals a season. See, that's classic what Rangers fans say.
I'm not a Rangers fan!
No, what Rangers fans would say. If you were a Rangers fan, you would say something like that.
Do you like Dessers?
Aye, I do. I like him. I think he's decent. I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism. Works his nuts off, do you know what I mean? And he gets you goals. What else is it that you're looking for?
No, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Sometimes, though, he scores the hard chances and then misses the dead simple ones. Do you think that's where the frustration comes from?
Of course it is. Aye. But you'd rather him scoring. And Tavernier again. Tavernier's not had a great season, has he? But he'll always pop up.
Yeah, it was a good win for Rangers yesterday. Comfortable 3-0 against Dundee. And in the other game yesterday, our man beside me was there at Celtic Park, captain in Falkirk. And at half-time, Falkirk are 2-1 up against the champions of Scotland, who'd just come off the back of a Champions League win by 5-1. So you get in the dressing room call at half-time, you're 2-1 up. What's going through your head?
We were actually disappointed with the goal that we had lost, believe it or not. We spoke all week about Bernardo and Hitati and the runs that they make into the box, and that it might not be the striker that scores, but you need to stay with them. Even though you're back in the box, you need to be close to them because you can't give them a half yard. These players are top, top level players. So that was part of the discussion. And then the gaffer wanted to give us a plan on how to go out the second half. And obviously he's saying, don't change, keep trying to play, but it's difficult. It was. We put so much into that first half. I was exhausted.
Were you?
Aye, exhausted. It's not so much the physical. I mean, you're really a really good person to speak to about it because you've been on both sides. You've gone to Celtic Park as a visiting player. You've been at Celtic Park as a player. And it's actually the psychological, you're constantly thinking. And the ball goes out and Schmeichel's rolled another ball out and he's shelling it to the left back and you're sprinting back to it. Like it just felt like the game didn't stop at any point. So it was so difficult. And I think you saw that in the last 20 minutes when Celtic made those four substitutions that it just became too much of a task for us.
When you look to the left and they're making those substitutions, what are you thinking?
Well, Kyogo was still warming up. So Kyogo was the one that I was like, oh, please, didn't he bring him on? Like, he's a nightmare, Kyogo. Rapid, like, good finisher. So he was still warming up. And then Kuhn was, how good was he when he came on? So sharp, mate. You don't realise, when you watch these boys on the telly, like, they obviously look good and Kuhn's, what a season he's having, but like, you don't actually realise how quick these boys are. Like, they just take yards at you. And I'm no rapid, I'm no slow, but they're so sharp. And he changed the game for them, didn't he?
Well, I've got to say, I thought yous were brilliant. Brilliant watch. And I've heard a lot about yous this season and last season. And I just wondered how yous would have taken that to Celtic Park. And I was buzzing just watching how yous didn't change.
No.
Runners that are willing to get forward, so you've always got an option. You keep the width. I know you've got pace on the right-hand side, which always helps.
Yeah.
But see, when the ball went into the box, how many times have we seen teams go to Celtic Park and balls will go into Celtic's box and there'll be maybe one striker there or there'll be nobody there? See, you're setting goal.
Mm-hmm.
You said five players.
Aye.
Five players in the box at that time. Now, that's brave, but I like the way that yous play. Yous try and keep the ball and Brendan Rodgers said it all, didn't he? Yesterday said that he's the best. Yous are the best team he's played against.
Oh, easily. You're the best team that's played at Celtic Park in a long time. I thought yous were outstanding and you thoroughly deserve to be in front. And at 70 minutes, you're thinking, oh. I mean, I know they make the substitutions, but you're still thinking they've still got to score Celtic to even just get it to a draw, maybe take into extra time. But
I still thought yous carried a threat. And
aye,
that was the jeopardy in it for Celtic when they were making the changes.
Aye.
I still thought, Falkirk, go up here.
Aye.
You could get this game to bed.
Aye.
Well, they came on with it and the subs were on for about 5-6 minutes before the goal started going in. And we had a free kick in a wide area. And I remember thinking, we score here, like it's 3-1. Like, you can at that point. That's when you get right deep. And you do, you get further back the park. It's so hard to try. We did try to stay as high as possible and press after them. But no, I was actually quite nervous going into the game because in the press and the build up, I had mentioned, I remember getting back into the changing room and the boys were like, oh, what did you say? And I was like, oh, I said that we're going to take the game to Celtic and we're not going to let Celtic have it their own way. And I was like, well, what if I did So you think, like, it's easy to say that. You sit in a press conference and you say, no, we're not going to let them and we're going to press high and we're going to continue the way. But I was so proud of how the boys, we stuck to our task. And I think the biggest sort of mark of respect was Brendan Rodgers actually came in our changing room whilst the gaffer was still speaking and just sort of said how impressed he was, not only in the way that we played during the game, but in his analysis of us building up. He said it was a joy to sort of look at how we play and that we play the same way every week. So, listen, these compliments are nice, but I think as a professional footballer at the end, we were still disappointed with the way that the last 20 minutes went.
So you're still gutted?
I mean, gutted, mate. You're looking up at that clock, which, by the way, that scoreboard clock at Celtic is broke. It doesn't go as quick as any other clock. You're staring at it, mate. I promise you. 50 minutes onwards. And I'm thinking, right, I'll not look at it. And I look back, expecting to see a 6, and it's like 53. And I'm like, no way, man. How's that?
That's good.
But I looked up and I remember seeing 70 and thinking, 20 minutes to go. And then you can see, like, second phase of a corner, mate. Like, you think, oh, how all these good players at Celtic have got, and you can see, like, from a corner, basically. So.
And see, when they do score the equaliser, do you then go, oh, does it deflate you? Does it deflate the team? Because you're still in the game at 2-2. Or could you physically see it, feel it in the stadium?
I think the fact that we literally kicked the game off, they nicked it off our left back, and then I've tried to nick it off, I've misjudged it, and then he's got past Hendel, and they literally scored straight away, and mate, the stadium was bedlam.
But that's great compliment to use as well, because in a run of the mill cup game like that after the Champions League, I've been there before, the stadium isn't a bedlam, you know, the atmosphere comes down a notch. Yeah. But because of how dangerous yous looked, it created the atmosphere when Celtic scored their third.
See, as well, big Roscoe went down after about 56, sort of 60 minutes, and went down injured, right? And the ball stayed in play. How many times do you think a Celtic side kept the ball and no-kicked the ball out for a Falkirk team at Parkhead? Like, surely just... I remember saying to
so what, you're saying they're unsportsmen?
No, I'm just saying, I spoke to their captain at the time and said, any chance he's kicking the ball out? Because they got a free kick right on the edge of the box.
What did he say?
No, we're not kicking the ball out. Would you kick the ball out for us? And I says, I definitely would have, because we would have got a wee rest.
Good experience, though, for you, Cole. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah,
despite
good.
Despite the defeat?
No, I missed. Listen, I think playing in front of a packed Celtic Park when you're a championship player, you do. You need to enjoy it. And you enjoy it by performing sort of the way we did in the first 70 minutes. But
happy with your own performance? I thought you were great.
Did all right. It was a difficult game, mate. Honestly, like, I never really marked either. I didn't really play against either. I've just felt like Hatate, Bernardo, Palma, the left back. I was like, it just becomes a blur. There was about 14 of them on the pitch at one point. Did they take actually anyone off when they brought those four boys on? Just ended up with 15 on the park.
It was just a blur of green and white hoops.
I was, mate. Just like the green arrows rather than the red arrows. It was mental.
What was Ida like to play against?
Decent.
Strong?
He's a big lad. And you see the way he takes his goals, that he's once he gets his chance, he's going to take them. But I thought we did all right. We dealt with him all right, especially the first half. But yeah, I think we ran out of steam in the second.
Now, you should be proud of yourselves. And I did say that on Twitter, brave, and you should be really proud of yourselves. So I thought you gave Celtic a really tough game. And when they need to bring on the substitutes, that tells you all you need to know about the game itself. So well done to you, my man. Cole Donaldson here with us, the Falkirk captain, after yesterday's game at Parkhead against Celtic, losing by 5-2. And the semi-finals look like this. It's Rangers versus Motherwell, Celtic versus Aberdeen. Are we looking forward to an Old Firm final, Mark?
Oh, well, I don't know. Aberdeen will have a lot to say about that. I've just been chatting about them. So
tricky game.
It's a tricky game.
I think, would Rangers beat Motherwell? You'd probably expect that.
You would expect that, but they need to keep progressing.
Yes,
Rangers, they can't stall, and that's been the problem.
Aberdeen made it really hard for Celtic last year in the Scottish Cup.
That's right.
Oh, I remember having extra time and
that
penalties,
was Aberdeen toiled last year. So Aberdeen will, I think Aberdeen will be, watch it. That'll not be as easy as you think.
Two interesting semi-finals to look forward to. Into the championship very quickly. Morton 2, Airdrie 0. Now, you're in the championship. You've played quite a few of the teams already.
Yeah, five games.
Five games so far. Partick Thistle 1, Dunfermline. Now, you've played against Dunfermline. You beat them 2-0 at their place. Mm-hmm. Are they as shit as they appear to be? You played against
Stephen
Mill. Them.
Nah, Stephen Mill's the big Dunfermline fan, isn't he? No.
Be honest.
Mate, honestly,
what do you think of Dunfermline this year? You've played against them. What are they like?
There's not 1 week in the championship that's an easy game.
I'm not asking you about all the other teams. I'm asking you about Dunfermline.
Dunfermline are great. Really good side.
No, they're not, Cole. They're shiny.
I can't say that, John. I cannot say that.
Listen, here's my question for you then.
Yep.
The best team you've played in the championship so far? Out of your five games, you're top of the league, joint top of the league.
Queen's Park was the toughest game. I felt that was the game that we played the best in, and that we weren't like. I remember thinking in that first half hour, if we'd played like that against any team last year, we'd have been about 3 or 4 nil up, and we were only 1-0 up, and that was a bit of a shock. Like So Queen's Park.
So Queen's Park won. Air United won. Have you played Air yet?
No, we played them in the group stages of the Premier Sports Cup. They beat us 1-0.
They've lost out, so.
Do you know what? They're top of the league on goal difference, but they've played two more games than you.
Yeah.
If you win your two games in hand, you'll be six clear of them.
Cruising, aye.
Just win them because they're in hand.
Are you going up?
I'm not sure.
When was the last team to do that?
Come from League One and go straight up?
Has there an Ur game in
That's
Scottish
a good
game?
Question. That's a really good question.
Ipswich did it in England.
No, Hearts, sorry. Rangers would have done it. Oh, no, Rangers didn't
do it. Rangers didn't do it.
No, Hearts did that year, yeah. Mm. That's a good question. Do you fancy your chances, though?
Yeah, of course. Why? Like, we're not going to... You're in football to try and win things. You're not going to say, no, we're not going to do it. But it's going to be a very difficult... There's such a long way to go. And I think we need to be careful and guard against... all these compliments, and we need to just keep our feet on the ground and take it week by week.
Who are you playing at the weekend?
Wraith.
Oh, new manager bounce. He's not quite got it yet
because there were 3-1 up against Hamilton.
Threw it away
3-3. Hamilton scored two late goals. So they're still looking for their first win under their new manager. Into League One, Alloa 1, Kelty Hearts 0. Alloa top of the league with that victory. 1 point clear of Montrose, who beat Dumbarton by a goal to nil. Your former club, Dumbarton.
Aye, that's where I took my final bow.
In football. Is that your final bow in professional football?
Aye.
Have you not been involved in professional football since?
What do you mean? What, playing it? No, that was my last game. I don't even know who my last game was against. I think, see, at the point that I've said this before, maybe
your career ended at Dumbarton.
See, Dumbarton against Cowdenbeath, and we were doing the cool down after it, and the speedway cars were coming on.
Oh, man. How bad is that?
Fuck.
It's
this.
The tracks on the park.
I am out of here. Thank you, everyone. I'm retiring.
Over and out.
Into League Two, Peterhead are at the top of the pile there, but they did lose 2-0 to East Fife. East Fife have gone joint top with, they're a point behind Peterhead in second. East Fife, big win for them, closing the gap on Peterhead at the top, and Forfar are at the bottom despite a 2-1 win against Stranraer. And that's it. You're up to date with all the football from the weekend and all the other bullshit we've just been talking about. Shall we move on to WTF?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
VAR, WTF. I don't even think there was anything to talk about.
Well, there wasn't a VAR for a lot of the games, was there?
No.
Well, especially the ones
Is there anything in a Celtic game you'd like to dispute?
No.
The only one was either
offside.
That'd take a bit of time. His first goal.
But what about the... Well, I'm going to throw one at you. Your first goal... Yeah. Was there not a foul on the fullback?
By the way, I thought it was a foul in real time.
I thought it was a foul.
I thought he grabbed him.
He did. He grabbed him and sort of like.
I think Schmeichel thought it was a foul as well because he was
raging,
dreaming.
Oh, he's dreaming as well, but he's raging as
They're
well.
They're normally the fouls that get given as well, to be honest.
But did you think it was a foul at the time?
No, I was
when you've watched it back.
Yeah, I've not really. I don't really watch the games back. I watch like. So boring, but watch my clips back. Is that pure boring answer?
Do you get clips? What, for the analysis?
Aye, the analysis boys send through your clips and I just watch that.
All individualised, just individualized, for you or your unit? Or
you can watch how many times you kick the ball in the stands. And
So I thought in real time, like Mark, I thought that first Falkirk goal might have been a foul that led to the goal. Did you not think it at all?
No. Dill tried to play it wide to Alfie. I think you could maybe argue he's held onto the left back a wee bit, but nah, that's not a foul. Come on.
So, no need for VAR in that incident.
Well, it was actually strange playing with VAR because obviously in the Championship we don't. So we had like an introduction to VAR. A guy came in from the SFA during the week and sort of explained it all to us, showed us like different clips, showed why Celtic got a penalty, Hearts never got a penalty, that sort of stuff. So,
right,
it was fine. And the refs are really good these days at explaining it on the park to you. So.
Oh, you crawler.
No, they are.
You crawler.
But they were trying to get the second goal ruled out for a foul on the left back. You know how Alfie sort of bumped him and then he's crossed it in?
Yes.
Carl Mack was saying, it's a foul, you're right, it's a foul. And I'm up to the ref, come on, it's not what you're checking for. So they were checking for offside, they weren't even checking for the foul.
So. Oh, so it's not offside, they were checking it right.
Great okay. header, by the way.
Aye, we Yates, he'll be buzzing, he is buzzing.
Was Callum McGregor saying to the referee it's a foul, there's a foul?
Aye.
And were you like going, shut up?
Well, you're trying to not let them ref the game. You know what it's like, Celtic captain at Parkhead. That can
you giving them a bit? Are you?
You're not just not going to go there and roll over, are you? Like, you need to try and
you defend your corner.
Yeah, 100%.
Aye. What did you say to Cal?
I just said it's not a foul. What are you talking about? I actually never spoke to him. I spoke to the ref. I said, ref, what are you checking for? Checking for offside, right? No, what? And then I said to Roscoe, who the. They were checking if Roscoe was offside. I said, Roscoe, you're offside? He said, no chance.
As if he's going to say, aye, I'm offside.
No, but sometimes boys will be like, it might be tight. But aye. No, he was like, no, I'm on.
And so then we're good. Second goal, 2-1 up, half time. Amazing. What was it like walking up that tunnel at that time when you're 2-1 up? You must have been skipping and buzzing. Man. Great brilliant. Feeling.
Just blown the whistle
there. That's about it for actually VAR, WTF. Let's do this.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Ba 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 ba. You meant to do that.
Have
you? That's him dancing for Stephen Naismith getting the sack.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That's poor. That. You might get the sack one day. You know.
We all will.
Yeah.
All of us will. It happens to you.
Yeah. Have you had the sack before?
No. I've not been sacked.
That's unbelievably.
Wow.
For all the things he said on air.
Why are you shocked at the fact that I've never been sacked?
I thought
from
you would have been let go somewhere along the line.
STV2 did shut down however you
All right, okay.
It's a good show. Well,
so there's a technicality on the play.
That's a good point. STV2, where I worked, was shut down, but I still was working STV and I had a choice to make, either stay at STV or go to Radio Clyde, and I decided to come here.
And look at that, STV are still running now. I know. Imagine you stay.
Prospering.
Thriving. That would be networked. We'd be watching ITV in Scotland now.
If I was still there.
You'd be at STV, close down.
Right, let's do this. Right, underrated, overrated. Right, underrated, overrated. So, now for a new bit on the Big Scottish Football Podcast, and it's time for overrated, underrated. We've got a bit of music for this. We have.
No, that's just the music that we played in the background. We don't have a bit of music for this. We've got a bit of music for the Mass Footballer, but we've not got a bit of music for this, Ewan.
Okay, thank you, John, for that. Each week, either myself or Stephen Mill will bring something that is overrated and underrated, and it's up to you to cast your vote on whether you agree or disagree with it. Last week, listener Callum nominated Sunsets. So are sunsets overrated or underrated? Call.
I like a sunset.
You like a sunset? Yeah. Do you think they're better than a sunrise?
Yeah. I'm a night person, so.
You're a sunset guy?
Yeah.
Sat on the beach with a cocktail watching the sun go down.
Lovely sunsets in North Berwick where I'm from, so.
Lovely.
Yeah, enjoyed very that. Nice. I'm the same.
Callum thinks that sunsets are overrated. What do you think, Mark Wilson?
I like sunsets.
Better than a sunrise? I know you're an early riser.
I'm an early riser, but no, I do like a sunset. Ibiza sunset. Have you seen that? Oh.
Mambo's.
Yeah. Oh.
So Callum says it's overrated. So what have the people of Scotland and the listeners of the show said? How do you think it's gone? Do you think they'll
agree
with Callum?
We don't get to see the sun, do we, that
not
often?
A lot of sun.
I'm going to say they disagree with him.
Yeah,
disagree with him. So can I have a drum roll, please? Twitter has spoken, and 73% of you say that sunsets are indeed overrated.
That's not the case, Ewan. It's the other way. 73% are saying no.
It's written down here. It's written down there. It's overrated.
It's not.
Is it actually underrated?
Aye.
Indeed overrated.
There we go.
It said indeed overrated.
What's it say?
Overrated.
Aye. Anyway. 73% say it's underrated. 73% is underrated.
So they agree with us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I like to throw something in. What are you
We've got guests today, Ewan, you can't do this.
I can do it.
Oh, Jesus.
Go for it.
I can do
it.
You're running the show today.
I'm running the show today, so I'm going to nominate something for overrated, underrated. Right. You ready?
Let's hear it.
I think this is overrated.
Oh, really?
That'll be beeped out.
Listen, Leanne will listen to this, so I'm withdrawn from the conversation.
You love sitting on that fence. Get off that fence. Get off that fence.
Okay, so.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for your contribution there.
No,
thank you. Me also, it's overrated.
Just overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah, that don't even know. I wouldn't even know.
I'm going to say overrated also.
Right, let's do another one. A serious one this time. So we've got a nomination from Mark. Who's Mark?
This is to ask Mark,
oh, Mark
to nominate something.
Oh, that's me.
Yes.
Mark,
right.
Yeah.
So someone is overrated. I thought it was a punter named Mark. But this
I didn't know I was getting asked this. But here's something that's controversial because it splits our household.
Go on.
Chips.
Right.
Overrated.
Chips.
Leanne loves chips, and when she makes chips, I'll say I can take them or leave them. She thinks it's the weirdest thing ever that I think they're overrated.
Chips are overrated.
Aye. It's a potato chopped up. Potato's the blandest thing, food source.
Do you like brown sauce or brown sauce? You know what I'm talking about. Chippy brown sauce. That vinegary, like...
Oh, that's an Edinburgh thing. That's an Edinburgh thing, isn't it?
Chips
that's
an with that.
Brown sauce. Oh. There's nothing better.
Frightening, lad.
I just think they're overrated. Chips. Like, people actually just go and get a poke of chips.
What would be your favourite potato? What, like, their favourite way to do a potato?
Favourite potato? There's a topic for you every week. Your favourite potato?
Chips or crisps or mashed potato, baked potato.
Baked potato is even worse than chips.
What's wrong with you?
A baked potato is just a big potato.
But the fillings in that, lad, like a chili
different. Hold
beans,
on a minute.
Cheese.
That's different.
That's not a baked potato. You're not just going to eat a potato. Like
exactly,
a baked potato.
Because it's shit.
But then the fillings in it make it good.
But just eat the filling. Don't eat the big shit potato.
But then with the potato, it makes it good. With the skin in that, salt and pepper, baked potatoes
mash,
are good.
I would like mash.
Yeah, there. Mash is good.
Because you can put loads of butter in that, you see?
A baked potato in an air fryer is unbelievable.
It's still a potato.
It's Michelin star quality baked potatoes
in
an air
fryer.
I do a lot of cooking, but a baked potato...
Too busy playing that PS5.
If you got an air fryer, get the baked potatoes in there.
Really, yeah.
I'd make it all crisp. So what you do is, you get some olive oil.
Right.
And you put a dab of olive oil in your hand, you get the potato, and you massage it.
You do.
We're still talking about the potato.
You're going to have to beat that.
You weren't speaking about that.
Shut up.
I mean, no.
Why? That's part of the show where the people don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, really?
Aye.
Beat that then again. Sorry, John. I didn't know. I seriously didn't know.
Right. So, honestly, you get olive oil.
Right.
And you massage. Well, a bit of salt.
Aye.
So, you get olive oil and salt in your hand. Right.
Aye.
And it's oily. And you rub. You get the potato and you put it in and you rub it like as if it's a cricket ball. And you're rubbing the potato with the salt and the olive oil.
Like a cricket ball, so you're doing that bit as well, getting the shine on it.
You're not doing it by your groin.
Getting the shine on it.
I wondered what these things were in your jeans.
No, and you give it a right good massage, this potato, with the salt and the olive oil, and then you place it in the air fryer. It is, I kid you not, it is sensational. It comes out really fluffy, and the skin is crispy, salty, and you can add whatever filling you like. Trust me on this. 45 minutes, air fryer, massage it with olive oil and salt, bang.
So I don't think chips are overrated. I like chips.
I like chips as well. I don't think they're overrated, but you're saying
overrated. That's just my opinion.
Producer John, overrated, underrated?
Oh, chips are amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. See, I think you're going to get you're going to absolutely get hammered on this one. So go and have your say. Go to our Twitter page. What is our Twitter page? It's at BigFootballScott, at BigFootballScott, to cast your vote on whether you think chips are overrated or underrated. Okay, it's now time for this. Press the button. Right, we've got a masked footballer who can only answer our questions with aye or no. The producer sourced the footballer and we have to guess who it is through a series of yes or no questions. So, we have a footballer who can only answer yes or no. We've also disguised the voice. Just let's hear it, please, producer John.
Yes.
And say the next one.
No.
So we have that.
Right.
And we can ask one question and one question only. So what do we already know about this person, producer John?
Right, you got three questions because it's a new one. It's a really hard one. So we already know they've been capped at international level and they haven't played for either side of the Old Firm.
Yes.
But it was at any international level, so it wasn't just me.
Yeah, but they haven't played for Scotland, but they are an international capped player and they haven't played for either side of the Old Firm. That's what we know so far. So they didn't play for Scotland, but does have an international cap. And didn't play for either side of the Old Firm. So we get one question and one question only to try and narrow down who this is. Now, the last time we played this, we narrowed it down to Scott Allen and we got that right over a period of 4 weeks. So what's the question we need to ask today to narrow it down? Not an Old Firm player, international capped, but not Scotland. So what's a question we could ask that could help us identify who this is?
What about, does he play for one of the... Or did he play for one of the Edinburgh clubs then? Is that a relevant question?
I see when you were doing this before, I was trying to think about who producer John would know. So see when it was internationalist and not Scotland, I was thinking Scott Arfield just with the Falkirk connection. But
that's
he's obviously
a brilliant
played,
shout, Canada.
But he's played with Rangers or Celtic.
Oh, he has as well.
Oh,
yes,
so it's not a brilliant shout.
No, I was at the time,
What about Witherspoon? Witherspoon's another one that he was at. Obviously, I'm thinking right the name, but questions are.
So what could we do that rules out? So do we ask a question about the international cap that this person has got? Is it in the British Isles?
Yeah,
that is that a question?
That's a good one.
Is that the Home Nations?
Home Nations,
or do we go? So John, would you accept Home Nations and Ireland, please?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so should we go with that?
Yeah.
So we know it's not Scotland, but will it be England, Wales, Northern Ireland or Ireland? So we go Home Nations plus Ireland. Did he get an international cap with them?
Either
of them. Okay, John, the question is this. Is our mass footballer got an international cap for one of the Home Nations or Ireland?
Yes.
So it's England, Wales, Northern Ireland, or Ireland.
But it's not going to be England, because surely an English internationalist playing with the Old Firm.
Doesn't he know John? Doesn't he know John?
Who says they know me?
To be fair, it's going to be a Hearts player.
Next to my list.
I've got a name in my head.
After Scott Allen. You worked hard for that one, to be fair. Went quite far to get Scott Allen.
So this player, this mass footballer, played for one of the Home Nations or Ireland. It won't be England.
It's not going to be England.
Northern Ireland.
Right.
I'm going Northern Ireland.
If you've got any ideas, then let us know. Go to our Twitter page, which is at BigFootballScott. Also, leave us a message on our YouTube channel as well, and we'll get to your feedback next week. It is now time to do this. Doing a quiz. And there's three of us taking part in the quiz today. It's myself, Ewan Cameron, up against Falkirk captain Cole Donaldson and former Dumbarton player, what's his name, Mark Wilson.
Brilliant. Thanks.
So you just
should Mark and Cole work together against you?
No,
we're going to do this then, because then they're playing on behalf of Stephen.
That actually makes sense.
Cole, why don't we just do Cole? I've played you before.
No, because I want to beat the two of you.
I'll beat you.
Shut up.
Captain Cole can do it.
No, I want Mark to do it as well.
It's well, not... they can work together as a team then.
Ah, you say if
work.
We work together, you've beat the both of us.
All right, then you right, two right, work right, together right, then. Okay. Right. So get nice and tight, you two.
You
and
do the right and call.
Right.
So it's the same question for each of us. Yeah. So you, if you can't obviously speak out loud to each other,
it's
we can
okay.
stuff
all
down.
We need is eye
right.
contact.
Right, okay.
Right.
So
how does the home run question? Are you going to explain that?
So what will happen here is we'll get the same question, we'll write down our answer, but at some point during the quiz, you can go for a top bin question, which is a harder question, and it is worth 2 points. You can ask for that any point during the quiz, so you can see how it goes. But it's five questions, and you can go for a top bin for 2 points if you fancy it. So are we ready to do this?
Yeah.
You write an answer on your iPad?
Yep.
How big time's that?
That's huge time. That's what to why, do. Why £1,000 iPad.
Exactly. And we've got plenty of paper here. We've got pen that he's used off show.
I've got an iPad pen. Look at that.
Look at you. Must be on some money. That STV payoff must have been huge.
Aye, very good.
Right,
right, let's
okay,
do this.
Right, no worries. Right, let's go for the first question then, will we?
Yeah.
It is, who is currently top of the Lowland League? Who is currently top of the Lowland League? Time is on the clock.
Well, they're disagreeing. Those two are disagreeing. I see Mark shaking his head at what Cole wrote down.
Ewan, this is a lower league question, so I suspect you won't know the answer to it.
Aren't they?
I don't know whether they know. I thought they were.
I would have said.
Right, okay. Right.
I would have said them.
Right, we'll go with yours. We'll go with yours.
Nah, man.
No, because I know what you're saying, but. I don't know why we're whispering to use a mic. We've got headphones on, try to whisper.
What have they done? He'll not know who we're talking about.
They beat them on Saturday.
Did they?
Have you got an answer?
Aye, but I don't an know. Answer. Right, go for it.
Right, we've got an answer.
Right,
got
well,
an
they,
answer.
They go first because they've written down loads of different answers. So you can also say it out loud because I've written mine down.
Call.
Call.
Right, we've gone for the Caledonian Braves.
The what?
Who have you went for, Ewan?
Berwick Rangers.
One of you's got the right answers. And it's Captain Colin Mark.
Yeah! To be fair, I'll give the credit to Mark. I wrote down East Kilbride. I thought it was East Kilbride.
No, Caledonia Braves.
Yes. Caledonian Braves beat East Kilbride at the weekend. 2-0.
Berwick.
Right.
See, we actually do our research on Super Scoreboard on Saturdays. What are you doing in that?
Well done, Mark.
Working.
Right, just get to the next question.
Right, next question. Out with of Hearts, who was the only other Scottish club that Craig Levein played with? Out with of Hearts. Who's the only other Scottish club that Craig Levein played with?
If you don't get this right, this is your era. How would I know who Craig Levein played for?
He's one of our legends. You should know. You're a Hearts man.
Do you think?
Don't know. But it's the first one that popped into my head.
Do you not agree with what Mark says?
I don't disagree.
Listen, Mark's top of the Beat the Pundit board at the moment, so know, I'd listen to Mark. He's not had the 10 right enough.
No, definitely not.
No. Right, go with yours again.
Hey, we've got an answer.
You got an answer, Ewan? Have you got an answer?
Yeah, I've got an answer.
All right.
You might go first?
You boys go first.
Hey,
we've gone for Berwick.
Nah, it's no Berwick.
Ewan?
I don't think it's Berwick. I think it's Cambridge.
Oh, that's...
Oh. Ewan!
Get in!
John's trying to set you up for a win here. I know what he's doing.
Did Cowdenbeath come anywhere in your thinking?
Aye, I was in the same lines,
right,
wasn't it?
Okay.
Aye.
The Blue Brazil.
It was his first management gig.
Right, let's do it because he's returned to it. That's right.
Okay, question number three.
1-1.
Who's the current top goal scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Do you know this?
I think I do.
No. He wasn't what you were thinking.
Nah. Go with you.
No, honestly, go. Who do you think it was? Right then.
Is it? Nah. Mine was bad.
No. Definitely not.
No.
Go with yours. Oh, we're there.
In the Scottish Premiership right now as it stands.
Yes.
Top goal scorer.
Yeah.
That's the one.
It's
the one
of the two. You can pick.
Right. We've got an answer.
Ewan, you got an answer?
No, he's not.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay then.
He looks unsure.
Mark and Cole, what have you got?
We went for Olasanya.
Olasanya. You and Bob, what
earlier,
you
mentioned
you
earlier
for?
In the show.
Yeah, I went for Kuhn.
No, it's not him, no.
These are both wrong.
Gia, free Aberdeen.
Papa Gia.
Oh, show them what I wrote down.
I don't know if you can see that.
Did you write Papa Gia?
I put Gay or Olasanya.
Two questions to
These
go.
These are hard questions.
John, just out of curiosity, how many goals has Papa Gia scored this season?
I think it's six in the Premiership.
Olasanya, all competitions.
All competitions. I think all competitions might be Olasanya. I don't know. Anyway, next question.
Question four, it's 1-1.
Can you name the only Scottish manager in the English Premiership? Can you name the only Scottish manager in the English Premiership?
Yeah. I know it. I don't need to write it down.
Oh, I've got it. Should have won at the weekend. Late equaliser.
Great shout. I wouldn't have got that.
Oh, you both got it there. So yeah.
Go, turn that clock off. I've gone with Russell Martin.
We went with Russell Martin as well.
Both.
Let me see, do you write it down? Yeah, you
write
it.
Yeah.
It's like countdown, is it? Showing you your Martin.
Now.
That's the decider.
This is the decider.
So it's 2-2.
You remember, you've got the top bins there.
It's question five now. You could go top bin here, lads, and double your points.
Yeah.
Or you go with a normal question and hope that I get it wrong.
Is there a tiebreaker if we draw?
Yeah.
I fancy us in the tiebreaker. Are you going to go for the top bin one?
Well, I'm asking you, what do you want to do?
No, we're all right. We fancy our chances.
See, what I'm going to do, John, I am going to go with the normal question and hopefully take it to a tiebreaker. Are you going for the normal question?
Normal question.
Well, coincidentally, you talked about this earlier on in the show. Who were the last team to do back-to-back promotions from League One to the Premiership? League One to the Premiership?
I've got an answer.
I know it.
Oh, don't say that!
I know it.
Don't say you know it.
That's who I was thinking.
It is them.
Think so?
Aye.
Well, how did you not know the answer earlier?
Because I was thinking it, but I thought me and John was texting me last night.
John! Producer John!
Don't expose that just as well. I'm ready to give an answer.
I'm bamming him up. Okay. It was a surprise that was going on, told you.
I didn't know Cole was coming.
Yeah, John never knew.
That's true. So,
I'm paranoid. Right,
I'm ready. I'll go first.
Right.
Okay, Ewan.
I think it's Livingston.
You've written Livingston. You put an E at the end of Livingston, no, you
Livingstone.
No, we put Livingston as well.
Oh, we've both gone for Livingston, both so I can't lose.
Both went for Livingston. Both right.
Yes, Cole, well
done.
The
tiebreak.
They went up through the playoffs, remember?
They did
beat Partick
Thistle.
That's right.
So yeah. If Cole wasn't here, you and you got that, Mark?
Don't know. Don't think so.
Right, here we go. Tiebreak.
To win it. Ewan, this would be a momentous occasion
mate,
for
get
you.
Get my happy dance music.
And you want
ready.
The happy dance music at the ready, right? Yeah. Okay, right, no problem. Right.
See, before we do this.
Uh-huh.
Just to put the pressure on even more.
Right. What's that?
Is that your lunch?
That's a tropical mixed fruit thing.
Brilliant.
It's just got, pulled out a tangerine as well. Got, what else you got in there?
It's got
is that a TARDIS that big?
Pineapple.
So what I want you, what we need to do for this question, to put the pressure on, is we need to balance the tangerine on our heads.
I'm being serious.
You'll not get a tangerine on your head. Like two ex-professional footballers, I reckon could do
it. You can't move. Like, you can't let it drop or you lose a point.
Nah.
That's not how the game.
Right.
How am I meant to write the answer, dude?
Right. Go.
Right. How many women internationals have over 100 caps for Scotland? How many women internationals have over 100 caps for Scotland?
Nearest to answer wins.
Closest to wins.
How are we making fair? Can I move my head?
Right.
Those elocution lessons have paid off, by the way, for me now. I thought they would never come in handy.
I'm just going to write down a random number here.
Right. Go for it. Show it to Mark and he can go higher or lower. So right down, I'm not looking at you.
That's it. Let's see. Oh, really? That's a high number.
You think that's high?
I reckon so. Over 100 caps.
Aye, you're right. Aye.
We will lower. I would say half that.
Half that.
Aye.
Right. You go half of what you know, and I'm going to go that. Right, I'm ready.
Right, Ewan, what have you went for?
Well, they haven't written anything down, so he needs to say it first.
We wrote 10, Mark said half, so 5.
You're going with 5.
Ewan, what have you went for?
I went with 8.
So Mark and Col, 5. Ewan, 8.
Nearest wins.
Jesus God. The answer is... hate to say this, especially the Falkirk captain being on. It's 16, which means Ewan wins.
Yes! 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 Turn that music off! Get my happy dance music on!
Do you want your happy 16?
Do you want your happy dance music on, Ewan?
16?
It's the harsh, give me the harsh tune.
There'll no be...
That's not the harsh tune.
That's not your happy dance, Jambo. Be a happy dance.
Showing his true colours now.
No, do you not want that one?
No, and nobody wants to see my crotch. What
about your Jambo beer dance?
That is disturbing.
That would be more than how many male players? How many male Scotland players? I've got 100 caps. One.
One.
Oh, just shut up, you mammal, man.
Sorry.
What tune's this? How's this connected to Hearts?
Shut up!
It's the Jambo Bear song.
Play the Hearts tune.
Play the Hearts tune.
Yeah. Hector Nickel.
Oh, get your time, get up back.
He's pathetic.
Put a white shot, John.
That's what beat us.
That's what beat STV too. We don't need to see that. You're big arse. Well done, you.
So I fell out there as you were jumping a bit. Yeah. What was that?
Thank you, Col Donaldson.
Thanks for having me.
Falkirk captain.
Unfit he is, he's out of breath.
Best of luck to you for the season.
Thanks very much.
Would you like a bit of my watermelon?
Well, you can stick that watermelon.
Shove it,
thank you, Mark Wilson.
Thank you, Ewan.
I've kept you always later a than I said I would.
Yeah, but it's okay.
I think you've done well. You've got punditry in you. You've got a job in you after the football call.
Believe it or not, this was more nerve-wracking than yesterday. So.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, did. Good. Really enjoyed it.
I'm a winner. I beat these two fucking Muppets. Yes! Back next Monday. Take care. Love you. Wave. Oh, my pen.
Nice, dear. iPad pens away. I'll be £400 to replace that.
Wave, bye.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.